Lord God, feed us today. Amen. One Friday afternoon during my vicar year, that's like my pastoral residency while I was still in seminary, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, my wife and I were invited to go out to dinner. It would be us and my supervising pastor's family and then a couple that they knew and were good friends with. They were inviting us out to dinner at an authentic Italian Neapolitan pizza restaurant in downtown Atlanta. That's where I vicared, by the way. It was near Atlanta. And so, of course, we accepted pizza and authentic Italian pizza. We got there and got our pizza. We were a little bit late because of traffic. But we got there, ate, got our pizza, took a bite, and immediately it became clear what all the fuss was about at this pizza place. The owner was from Italy. He had imported all of his ingredients and his recipe from from his homeland. And still today, it is the best pizza I have ever eaten. And I've been to Italy since then. We probably ate a little bit too fast because it was so good and because we had gotten there a little bit late. But when we had finished our pizza, to our surprise, the couple who had invited us picked up our tab, paid, and then said, "On to the next place!" Huh? We're expecting that. Turns out that the Italian guy who owned the pizza restaurant, he has a brother. And he, also Italian, operates a full Italian restaurant just across the street from that pizza place. And so we made our way across the street and sat down, and this couple who'd invited us out, they proceeded to order what seemed like one of everything on the menu. There was chicken and vegetables and bread and every kind of pasta imaginable. And along with all of those authentic, delicious, some of the most delicious food I've ever eaten dishes, came wines expertly paired with those Italian dishes. We were there for hours, feasting on some of the finest food I've ever had in my life, enjoying each other's company. And when that meal was over, they said, "On to the next one!" See, there was a third Italian brother who, just a few steps away, operated a gelato and dessert spot in Atlanta. And so we made our way over there and ordered gelato, which is no problem, right? Italian ice cream, it melts, it fills in the cracks, no big deal. But then, as we threw our paper cups away there, they said, "Onward!" And we ended up at this 24-hour specialty donut shop a few blocks away. And we were pretty much full to the gills. Everything looked amazing, delicious. We had to share a strawberry and cream donut. Because we couldn't fit a full one in. Our meal had started at, I think, 5:30. By the time we were done, it was 11:30. And because of the generosity of our hosts for the evening, the couple that had invited us out, we didn't pay a dime. That is one of the few meals that I've ever had that I think deserves the term feast. I still think about it sometimes, as you can tell, right? But that meal holds nothing next to the meal that God is preparing for us. Isaiah writes in chapter 25, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines." God lays out a feast. He prepares the best he's got, the most perfectly aged, full-bodied, and flavorful wines, the most sumptuous, delectable cuts of meat that will live on in your dreams forever, the most delicious, the most costly, the most expertly prepared food you could ever imagine. And you are invited to partake. What in the world could possibly prompt such sumptuous fare? What could move a host to provide the best he has to spare, nothing in reserve? Only the greatest celebration. Only the most glorious victory. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. This feast is nothing other than the celebration of death's defeat. This is the feast of eternal life. See, God doesn't just paint this picture to make our mouths water. He shows us this image so that we would glimpse the eternal reality behind it. This is the promise. This is the thing that God has prepared for all his people, all of his goodness, all of his blessing. Nothing held back. People of every tribe, language, and nation gathered on the mountain of the Lord, where God makes his presence manifests it there among his people. This is everything good, nothing bad. Every one of God's people totally at ease in his presence and with each other. This is eternal life. This is what God has won and prepared for you and me and every one of his people, the feast of eternity. And on All Saints' Day, we take a peek, don't we? We examine the banquet hall. Who's seated there? As everyone rejoices and celebrates and enjoys themselves to the fullest, who's seated there? The grandparents and parents, and spouses and brothers and sisters, those we've missed, those we've longed to see again, to talk to again, those who we've longed to know that everything happened just the way God promised it would. Here they are. Can you see it? Here they are, perfectly at ease in God's presence. No more death, no more crying, no more pain. Every crease of fear and doubt wiped away, more themselves than we've ever seen them be. Everything bad in the past, only life eternally in the future. Doesn't your heart just ache for this feast? When we've seen death up close and personal, there's nothing sweeter than death's undoing, than death's defeat, than death's reversal. When we have an empty chair at our table, there is nothing we want more than to see it filled again. And when death bursts into, sticks its nose unwelcome into our lives, feels sometimes like there's a sheet that's been thrown over us. The noise of the world is deadened and blurred. Life loses some of its color, it pales. Seems like our reactions are on a delay sometimes. And we go about life, we do the things we have to do. What else can we do after all? But it seems like there's something, this veil, this shroud in between us and truly living. If you're here today, covered with that shroud, if tears are an everyday part of your life, if you wear the veil of a mourner, I know you long for this feast. But it's not just at a funeral or in its aftermath that we are shrouded by death, that the death sheet hangs over us. No. Every day, time is slipping through our fingers. We don't allow ourselves to think about it all that often, but But we don't know. We don't know which day could be our last. And the devil loves to throw that in our face. You know that? He loves to use that to attack us at our core. He says, look, dust you are, and to dust you will return. You're just dirt. And nothing and no one can stop you from becoming dirt again. Right, this is what the devil says to us. Everything you are will pass away. Everything you have will rot. And with enough time, everyone who lives will forget you ever existed. That's what the devil throws in our face. He says, you're worthless. Your life is meaningless. There's no point, no purpose. And he uses death, right? He points to that looming shroud and sheet as the proof. And so if you have ever searched for meaning in life, if you've ever thrown yourself into something in this world, trying to find something that will last, something that will matter forever, well, then I know you can't wait for this veil, this shroud, this death to be swallowed up too. But in order for death to be swallowed up, someone has to do the swallowing. As God's people come to the feast, as they sup on the most sumptuous of fare, did you notice what's on God's plate? This entire feast has come out of his cellars, his ovens, his kitchens. He's provided the best that he has for his people. But what does God dine on? The Lord will swallow up death forever. Our God is dining on death. Could there be a more disgusting dish? Could there be food more bitter, more unappetizing than the grave? And yet, so that you and I might dine on life, our God puts our problem on his plate. He takes our sorrow, our tears, our shame, our disgrace. He takes our sin. And on this mountain, on a cross, he eats it every last bite. That is what it took so that you and I could sup on life. That is what it took so you and I could feast in eternity. And yet our God didn't just dine on death. He devoured it. To use the phrase, our God eats death for breakfast. But then just like breakfast, he gets up from his meal to a day eternal and full of joy and life. Our Savior gobbled down death and left it in the grave. Our Savior's empty tomb is the proof that death is chewed, swallowed, and consumed. And the result is glorious for his people. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. Jesus knows the tears that we shed when death takes someone we loved. He cried them himself at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus knows the disgrace of death. He himself rested in a tomb with its shroud laid over him. But our Savior lives. Our Savior wipes away every tear from our faces. Our Savior takes our disgrace and removes it from the earth. Our Savior writes a new ending to our story, one that continues after death in a resurrection like his and in life everlasting. Our Savior saves us a place at the feast. Jesus knows. Jesus knows that even though this is true, it will still feel sometimes like the shroud of death is hanging over us. Jesus knows that we'll still stand at the casket of a loved one. Jesus knows that we will still weep, that the devil will still tempt us. And we might think that what he's given us to get through it is simply a future consolation. That this feast is something that we look forward to, that we must persevere toward, but that we can't really have now. Friends, nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus bids you to partake of the feast today. Jesus invites you to come to the meal he has prepared. Today, in the Lord's Supper, our Savior gives you himself. He gives you his body and his blood, in, with, and under the bread and wine. And remember what body and blood this is. When we come to communion, we do not receive dead body and blood. Yes, it was given on the cross for us and for our sins. But Jesus was raised. He lives. And so as we receive the Lord's Supper, we receive a living Savior, living body and blood. He joins himself to us. He comes and dwells with us. So that when the devil rages, when he throws his lies in your face, when sin and hell and death all seem too much for you, you have more than just your power to draw on. You have his power because you have him. Come to the feast. In some old Norwegian churches, Norwegian Lutheran churches, there is an amazing architectural detail. It's actually kind of similar to what we have. In these old Norwegian churches, the communion rail is shaped in a half circle. The ends, right? They end up against the back wall of the church where the altar is. So as the congregants, as the communicants gather for the Lord's Supper, they form half of the shape with no beginning and no end. Half of the shape that symbolizes eternity. Where's the other half of the circle? Well, in those churches, on the other side of the wall is the cemetery. You see the truth that they are confessing. When we gather at the Lord's Supper, we're not feasting alone. We are sitting at this table, standing at the table of our Lord that he has prepared, and at which those we love, those we miss who've died in faith, brothers and sisters and parents and grandparents and spouses, also feast. We make up only the visible part of God's holy Christian church, but we are far outnumbered by those saints who have gone before, who now enjoy the glory of eternity and sup on the finest of wines and the choicest of meats. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we are never so close to the people that we look forward to seeing again as there, because we eat the same meal, hosted by the same Savior who died and now lives again. I still think about that meal in Atlanta that I had 8 years ago. But compared to the feast that God has prepared for me and for you, it might as well have been peanut butter and jelly. Death is dead. Our God lives. So say it now, as we'll sing it forever. Surely, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Come to the feast. Amen.